Yes, down to brass tacks. Hello? Welcome.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good to have you back, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you very much.
Yes, this morning I just want to build a case from history to illustrate history and then deal with a situation that I heard earlier this week, an announcement by one of our ministers, our new ministers. Looking back at something that President Bill Clinton said about his country when he was president, he said that from the time they took prayers out of the schools, that all the shooting up there started in schools. Now, this is a president of the United States that made that statement. He realized that if you take certain things of God out, certain other ills come in. Number one. Number two, we have abolished capital punishment in Barbados. I would like a study done to show statistics before it was abolished and after it was abolished to see what the murder rate was before and after. This would settle the argument as to whether it worked or not in our society. From my recollection, it has opened a door for murderers like I have never
seen. So where are your statistics to support that?
There are no studies that have been done formally. That's why I said it's one that needs to be done. But from my recollection of what I used to know about murders, I know that murders have increased. And the police have confirmed that. But it would be good for somebody to bring the actual statistics forward. But I think
murders have increased over what period?
From 1993 until 2018, murders have increased over that period of time.
Basically, how many murders we have in Barbados per year?
I don't know. I really don't know. You'd have to ask the police that.
And because I don't remember that murders in Barbados really go. We don't get 40 murders in this country in any year. Sometimes we are in the vicinity of 30-something max. But in general terms, I don't see the Barbados murder rate as being that high. And therefore, for you to link it to the whole question of capital punishment, that may not necessarily be borne out by the statistics. You may well be able to go to Trinidad or Jamaica and argue that case, but I'm not so sure that you can argue that with that degree of success in the case of Barbados.
Well, I would like to see it done so that we can settle it once and for all.
Well, okay. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Ms. Ellis, I'm on?
You are, yes.
Yeah, everybody welcoming you back and so on. I was prepared to do the same thing if you come back. See, a change, man. You left here gloating and all the light. Like, democratically, I probably took some licks. Man, you come back the same way. I can't wait.
So you didn't welcome me back?
Nothing that can do there, no, man. I welcome back if it's change.
But look how I welcome you.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Well, I don't understand what kind of behavior you get, you know what I mean?
You didn't welcome me. You just said to me, I'm on.
You know, I'm, well.
You can't extend, because I don't talk to you that way.
I extend a very warm welcome to you.
Anyway, I want two little points here. One on water and the other one on agriculture. I find, Ms. Ellis, that people come on this program and regardless of what kind of stupid remarks they make, they're allowed to, you know, to continue. And
don't say questions that. Don't say that, because if that's the case, we will stop you right now, too.
Well, all right, then. If I'm being stupid, then, you know, do that.
But don't. Now, you see, there's a question of perception, you know?
The point is that, listen, a chap come on the radio and every day he used to come with this point, booty, earth flat and everything, you know, and he's entertained by moderators. The only one really who had the guts to say to him, look, if you come tell me for this booty, earth flat, I don't want to hear. Go to another point. Now, gentlemen talk about water, and the only knowledge that he has of water is that Andrews had, he come along as a boy knowing that Andrews had a well. Right? That is the only knowledge he has of water. Now, Miss Ellis, he made a point to you this morning about no oil does fall from the sky, no gas does fall from the sky, and yet still they pump it to the earth. Now, in Saudi Arabia and those Eastern countries, they pump oil and gas.
You know, you got to learn, you need to learn something that some of the moderators have been able to master.
Well, tell me, man.
There are some things you just ignore. You don't chase everything.
Goodness. But it don't stop me.
You really think sitting down here as a moderator that you can chase everything that somebody says? Oh. And a lot is based upon the personality of the individual that you're interacting with.
But don't come, Miss Alice, I've a feeling in me at that point. Don't come telling me to ignore people who have gone and studied this issue and informing the country on it. Wow. You know, don't tell me to ignore them. Wow. Now, the other point on agriculture is I feel that like if someone has expressed an interest in agriculture, they should be doing that as a means of trying to uplift agriculture in the country and agriculture in general, and not to benefit themselves, you know? I don't want you to misunderstand the point I'm making. Now, you remember some time ago there was a spate.
Something. You accuse me of gloating, though, over the Democratic Labour Party's misfortunes, and I don't know to what extent anything that we discussed here this morning could be construed to be gloating, because, I mean, we talked about the challenges facing the DLP as an opposition party. We anticipate that, as I said before, because of the egos that politicians bring to the table, that it will be very challenging for some of the experienced people to give way to this new group of politicians that others believe should really be taken more seriously. I mean, these are the options. But to put the options before you is not to gloat about the misfortunes.
I should have said then that you left expressing a concern about the welfare of the Democratic Labour Party, and you return with that concern.
Well, you know, ultimately, we look at Barbados. I did not even stop at the issue of the DLP. I went further than that to talk about the need for civil society to play its role and for us not to lock all of our interests and our concern into the notion that you must have a strong opposition or a weak opposition. Mm-hmm. That sometimes when you have what numerically appears to be a strong opposition, sometimes you have the weakest opposition you might have ever had, all right, because of the circumstances. And it's important for us to see what the period has shown us about the strengths and weaknesses of our system.
Well, if
there's no gloating here.
Well, since you put it in that way, Mr. Ellis, let me say to you, I hope you had a beautiful holiday and welcome back.
Well, I thank you very much for finally coming to this particular point in the conversation. I interpret it most sincerely. Hello? Down to brass tacks. You on the air?
Good afternoon, Miss Ella.
Yes, it's still morning. It's 11:45.
Yeah, let me welcome you back.
Thank you very much.
But at the same time, I want to ask Frank that you're in bad company, so watch his back.
Well, you're implying that they will stab him in his back?
I don't know. I don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
So it's like I better do the same.
All right. On this question of the murders, though, there's somebody, you know, it's good to have the callers and the people on WhatsApp monitoring what's happening. This person pointed to an article of 2015 which said the number of homicides in Barbados had decreased over the five-year period, with 32 being recorded in 2010, 30 in 2011, 22 in 2012, 25 in 2013, and 21 in 2014. Last year, I believe that we had a higher number.
Yeah.
But again,
31.
But yeah, it would have been no more.
Just hop in here. Actually, the highest that we've recorded, because that's what I've been here searching for, the highest we've recorded for several years was in 2006 when we actually had 35 murders.
Yes, precisely.
But really and truly, our murder rate. You see, what happened is that there was a jump in murders in around April, where we had up to April 5th, we had up to 8 murders. And if you recall, we had a string of shootings around that period where a number of people died, and that would have given the impression that, okay, all hell was breaking loose. But the reality is that it's quiet down somewhat since then.
The question is, what are the factors that have influenced that quelling of the numbers? You know, the since the period when last Kaduma, when we had the shootings done by the Spring Garden and that sort of thing, there has been a something of a change in the tone in the country. I don't think people are as jumpy about that situation as we were back then. Yes, sir, you were saying, though.
Yeah, David. Now, you know, I really want to be short because I plan to come on when these DLP supporters really get full steam. Yeah? So in the meantime, I just issue or drop some little reminders to them. Like your last caller, they are coming with straws all the time because they don't know exactly what went on during the last election and they're still shell-shocked. Now, he coming now to drop an attack or make an attack on Mr. Agriculture. That's how they're coming all the time. Now, your caller before him, and you let him get away with it. He come and he accusing the present government as for coming now to moving with too much haste. And you forget to tell him or remind him or ask him, I should say, sorry, if he think when the Labour Party took office, if also they were coming with too much haste in solving the sewage project in the South Coast. He should tell you if that was too much haste as well.
All right, my friend is Sanka coming in here. Really, the election over, so I don't think this tit for tat is necessary. I think what is necessary is that we've really focused more on the issues, and I understand what you're doing. But one of the points that was being made by one of the callers who told me I'm an apologist for the present government, he was making the point about the summer camps, and he was saying the cancellation of those summer camps, and his words were the dismantling of the summer camps. And the thing about it is that, don't you think it could have been done better in the way in which the government went about it in announcing it?
I don't see anything wrong how they went about it.
How did they go about it? Do you recall? Do you recall how they went about it?
Because, listen, that last summer camp on the Democrat Labour Party was a disaster. Mm-hmm. You had a situation where you're picking up people and sending to different summer camps. I mean,
did they background the decision? Did they speak to it in those terms to say, look, these are the difficulties associated with it and this is why we're going to stop it?
But it was a disaster there. But
let's stick to the issue. And that's the point I'm making. No, let's stick to the issue. You see, it is not what is done, it's how it's done. The reality is that if it had been background, I don't think they would be able to have this level of concern being mentioned, or politicking in his case coming forth. The fact about the matter is that there was some concern for some time about the manner in which the summer camps were going. Yes, but the dismantling of the camps as was done, there was no it was not put into context, and that was a problem for a lot of reasonable people. Okay, then we had a situation where the minister is now saying, we're going to give you grants to help persons if they are unable to finance going to the different summer camps. From where I sit, this was like how the last government dealt with the whole situation at the university. They simply stopped it abruptly. And then when, as the public complained, you offered grants and saying that you're going to help people, it's going to be a needs assessment and whatnot. You see, it is what is done and how it appears that is important.
Let me share with you something that is closer to home for me. This person says here, good morning, David. As a past student of LSD, what do you think of the change of the uniform? I'm a past student and I don't approve. My husband is a past student too and he feels the same. I think that's reprehensible what they've done. I really cannot imagine that they could sit down and fiddle with a symbol like that in that particular way. I mean, it is not just these people who are going to school there right now. It is all of them women who wear the uniform and were proud of wearing the uniform, even though people call them LSD Bronco. I mean, they took delight in that. And somebody could sit down and determine that they are going to make their mark in this school by now changing the uniform. It seemed to me, I can't say it's unilateral, but however they have gone about it, I feel you have to be sensitive to things like that. I am one of the people opposed to the idea, and even though I didn't wear that uniform. That was to the girls.
Let me take a commercial break at this point. Welcome back to Brass Decks. It's 12:07, and since we mentioned that whole thing about the Ellerslie school uniform, we've had a lot of WhatsApp messages here. This person is saying, I'm very disappointed, and I hate the color, and my daughter does not even want to wear it. She's 13 years old, and she's going in fourth form. She came fourth in class, and it is a lot of foolishness. And parents are not even working. And this other parent is saying that it's very hard that the old material costs $9 a yard, but this new material is $15 a yard. And they have to make two uniforms. And I do believe the boys should wear long pants as well, this person is saying. And another person here is saying, I too am disappointed with the change to the Ellerslie school uniform. One of my daughters was a student there, and I thought it was a nice uniform. And so has anybody considered the cost of some parents who can ill afford to buy these new uniforms at this time? So this whole issue about the Ellerslie school uniform is generating quite a bit of a trend here on our WhatsApp chat right now.
Is anyway, that so?
Yes, it is, David. You just walked right back in.
No.
So I give three messages so far. And
but to me, this is about the process by which you introduce certain changes, and you got to take into consideration the alumni of these institutions, mm-hmm. and what it means to those people as well. It is not just for you to come and fiddle with things. I felt, you remember I spoke about the government, the former administration, going and changing the names mm-hmm. of the newer secondary schools, and wouldn't touch Harrison College, and wouldn't touch St. Michael's, none of those schools they would go and change the name of. But go after 40 years or whatever time, they were changing the names, and then had the people who went to school there in a state of confusion because mm-hmm. they spent all their lives telling people the name of my school was X or Y, and they have built up a loyalty and an affinity to it. And then they go and come and change it just so. And the same thing with this school uniform thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all. I don't think it was thought out. And I really strongly believe that they need to rethink that.
Yes. Let's go back to the phone lines, get some calls. It's 12:10. You're in the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Like the others, I would want to say to Mr. Ellis, glad to have you back.
Yes, thank you very much, yes.
Yeah, John Kelman here. And Mr. Ellis, I remember a short while ago, there was a brother who called you regarding the murder rate, and he was talking about being more in the days of yesteryear than today and whatnot. Well, I don't speak from any statistical point of view, but I speak from experience, having lived here for quite a while. And I remember very well, in the 1940s, murders were less prevalent than they are now. Now, I couldn't tell you how many there were for the year or whatnot, but it was not...
Because the white people were in control then. And we had a better way. We had more respect for their voice than we have for the voices of the black people who run the society today. Isn't that part of it?
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you, although I don't know if I would wholeheartedly say that. I'll tell you one thing that I feel certain would be one of the reasons. You didn't have you didn't have drive-by shootings. Because many people didn't have cars. Many people didn't own guns. You didn't have...
Now, you all used to beat up people all about this country. Men can go on court women in one neighborhood and that sort of thing. You love a piece of guava stick and that sort of thing. There was a lot of violence in Barbados around that time.
I never deny that, Mr. Ellis, but how many of them resulted in murders?
Well, because you were perhaps selective in where you hit the people, but you left them battered and bruised.
You see,
might have been so maimed and disfigured that they wish they were dead.
But yes, but what I'm talking about is the count of murders. People were violent. I'm not denying that. People used stones, knives, but they didn't have guns. And people seem to have had a better second thought then.
No, but the society was different, sir. You know that. Yes. You know that people were more responsive to what the neighbor said. People found themselves in situations where their children would listen to the next door neighbor and that sort of. This time, a child who's at primary school would curse the next door neighbor.
Well, fair enough. So what we're looking at here now is something that has converted our society into an unpleasant situation, and I think we need to find out what is that. It's just like accidents on the road. People didn't drive any better then than now, but there were less cars on the road. With more cars, it is obvious that there is the risk of more accidents. It don't mean that people are less careful on the road.
The society has changed a lot.
Exactly.
Let's accept that as a given, and we cannot necessarily take it back. We can't take it back to where it was in the 1950s or in the 1960s that I would have a certain consciousness of. But
I know there are people who are looking forward that, we will get back there. I find that almost utopian. I don't know of how you are going to get back there. I would love it to be. But what I am seeing now is, like you said, with a societal change such as this, where children, and I mean people under 16 years of age, would look at an adult and would be extremely disrespectful.
Let me tell you something that is simple, but it really represents where we are. You can be driving these days, and you stop to let a child or two small children cross the road, you know they haven't been taught to say thank you?
That's right.
You know that they cross the road as if it was a right that, you know, that you should stop exactly where you stop for them. And as simple as that is,
Mr.
symbol.
Ellis, I look at that sort of situation and I am saying the thing we call human rights seems to me to be the worst human wrong that was ever established. That may sound a little, but it boils down to that. I drove by coming from Banks, coming up Cullamore, and there was a lady sitting in her car coming from across by Automotive Arts, obviously going down Column Rock because I saw her trafficator on. And I slowed down. I didn't stop. I flicked my light and intending for her to come out, and she came out. So I raised my hand just to say, hello. I don't know. She doesn't know me. And she passed with her face up. But something was coming in the other direction, and they were about to overtake, so she slowed down, that I could really look across at. I said to her, if you had said thanks, I would not have been offended. Now, I cannot say on air what she told me, but I was sorry then that I had eased her, giving her the right of way. It was mine, and I forfeited it just to let her out. And what she said to me was horrible. That's the way we are today. So I am not seeing this beautiful light at the end of the tunnel with things getting better. I wouldn't say that they're going to get worse, but I can't see them getting better.
But we have to pull back that situation. And that is one of the things that if we want as a society to really grow, it is fundamental that we be able to communicate and communicate respectfully, because no matter how financially successful we are as a people, if we just are not conscious of other people's welfare, if we're not conscious, if we don't respect each other, then as a society we really can't go anywhere. Mr. Kelman, thank you very much for your call. We'll try to take one more call. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Not bad at all. And you?
I am well. It's nice to hear your voice.
Praise the Lord. This is the first time. I want to see it. I know I might get some lashes for it, but the camp, I think that it was a waste of money. I worked there, and I saw what went on. There are very few camps that your child could get something out of it. They waste all the government things that give the people to do craft and things. Food is a wastage. You cater, and you can't even pay the caterers. You take a long time before you get very few people from profit from that summer camp. It's a wastage of the government when they want to say so. Long before government change, years ago, I worked with it. Had me discuss. The children do not hear. But I'm sorry for the parents who have younger children. You see, the teenagers, they're all over the place, boys and girls connected like husband and wife. And it is very disgraceful and disrespectful. I work there. I've been there. It's a waste of the government money.
Yeah, but certainly
the little children know that irresponsible, right? And the parents got to work. They would need somebody to think, but parents got to make provision for them things too. They get free education when they come home, relax, get the books, and we had to keep one another home. I would sit back and listen to what Hogan criticized what happened.
No, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Don't run it. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
So how do you think it could be improved?
What I would say is these children that are at primary schools, you keep camp for those children. They're not responsible because, see, 12 years and up is something else. And, like, the same, somebody would come and help. I myself would go and, do the
volunteer.
Volunteer to help keep them kids still. The mother come on. I'm sure other people will come and be glad. At the same schools that are good, you get a classroom for them. But you see them, the ones from 12 years and thing up, tell me something else. I tell you, they don't listen. They don't listen all over the place. They're very disgusting. So they're all they got is a waste. It is a waste.
But you do recognize that at the same time, there needs to be some sort of structured program in the summer for children.
For children on the age.
So you recognize that?
Age.
Okay, I think what the new minister is suggesting is that they would be relooking at the program and seeing to have